Bu hanım mı yener? Snaaks in die worship toe flitter vir my as ek nou vir oggend ou kon by elke ou omgaan en by elke ou vrou gaan dit met jou dan wonder ek nogal wat sou almal sê. Besig man. Gaan daar by my. Maar as ietsie van vanmôre I really felt the same that the word that came through what was your word?
God is taking us out of our frame of mind.
God is taking us out of our frame of mind and then the Lord came. And Anton felt that the Lord was kind of saying, come to me as kids, as children. And a child is for those of us that have kids, they sometimes think they know a lot of stuff, but they don't know anything. And we know that, but they often don't know that. Linka has this way, she has this clever things that often she would throw my way these days. The latest thing is that she would say, Dad, don't blame me, blame society. And I was like, where did you get that? And also the other thing that she threw back at me the other day is it was something that I had to deal with. And I spoke to her about that and she looked at me and she said, Dad, that sounds like a you problem. And so, but often in that, they think they know what they know, and then as parents, through our perspective, through us, our experience, our maturity, we see things differently. And then often we need to tell our child, "Dis net vir papa." Okay? Dis net vir papa. Weet jy dink jy weet? Dis slaaptyd. Weet jy voel jy moeg? Dis nou doodoo tyd, want ek weet môre gaan jy moeg wees. En as jy moeg is, gaan jy sukkel om by ouma te gaan homeschool en by tannie Sharon te gaan homeschool en And so we need to help our kids often. And so it's the same thing with our frame of mind. Often in this journey with the Lord and in this journey as a follower of Jesus, we really think that we know what we know. And often we come and we walk it out. And then Jesus, from time to time, wants to come and tell us, hey, come to me as a kid. Come to me as a child. I want to help you in some areas. But if you don't lay down that frame of mind, if you don't lay down that thing that tells you, I know what I know, then often it can trip you up in a way. And that's exactly what this word is. And I love it. I didn't share with my mom. I didn't share with Anton what we're going to speak about this morning. So it's a big bit of a confidence booster to me as well. Because often you bring a word and you think, what if the people take this the wrong way? You know, I just want to sound clever this morning, but I really feel it's a confirmation of the Lord for the word of this morning. And so the Lord has been teaching us since the beginning of the year how to apply biblical values in our life. All the teaching that has come through Henry of Stellenbosch that was here last week and the previous weeks is a lot. We talked about the expectation that the Bible creates through listening and showing us and instructing us how does it look to be a follower of Jesus. Everything creates an expectation. I, as an elder in the church, I will create an expectation when I preach something. But also you yourself, when you became a follower of Jesus, there's suddenly some expectations in yourself that I want to live this way. I don't want to be impatient. I want to have joy. I don't want to have this constant anxiety on my stomach. So there's an expectation of you that as I follow Christ, there will be certain things that form part of me. And that is all expectations. And basically it comes down to Christian living. What does it look to live a life that follows Jesus? And how does that pan out? And we talked about faithfulness and the importance of faithfulness, because if I cannot have faithfulness, I will probably not walk this out long enough in order for the Holy Spirit to work in me, the fruit of the Spirit. And so those are all things that we were looking at this past year up until now. And the thing is that I realized all the more from my own life, my own experience, but also through some interaction with you guys, is that a lot of things often make it difficult for us to do what we hear. So what happens is we hear a teaching or we hear a preaching, we see what the Bible tells us, but then often there's some circumstances, there's some things that happen, challenges, life, financial difficulty, emotional difficulty, the kids getting snot noses, and you know, I'm sleeping late suddenly. You know, every time when I really get a momentum in my quiet time in the morning, one of the kids gets sick, and then we've got the whole week of geproes and gepras in the middle of the night, and it's coughing and it's wheezing, and we don't sleep, and I fall on the water and bring you the girls with any promises, give me that coffee, it's a caffeine, om wakker te word. And so suddenly, and then the busyness. I hear a preach about faithfulness, and everything in me says, Lord, I really want to walk in faithfulness. I want to do this your way. I want to live like the Bible says. And suddenly, I get overwhelmed by busyness. I get overwhelmed by issues and stuff that happens at work. And suddenly, that prohibits me and keeps me away from walking in this thing that I've just heard. We often don't stand still enough on topics long enough in order for the Holy Spirit to make it part of us. Because what is also part of it is that that's a difficulty, is we move on to the next subject too quickly. And that's why I love, you will always find when I preach, I will go back to the week before and the week before, and I will say, you remember what we talked about 3 weeks ago? You remember what we talked about back then? Because I believe it's important that we stick to those topics that the Lord is busy with us for now, long enough so that it really gets a part of us. But we move on so quickly, and often then it doesn't stick into that. And so there's a lot of things that keep us from really being able to walk out these truths of the Bible, the values of the Bible. But this morning and this week, the Lord emphasized something, a third thing that I feel I want to share with us this morning, that often is a stumbling block in our ability to walk out the things of the Bible and the things that gets taught to us. And that is... That is our understanding of biblical truths, our understanding of some of the concepts that the Bible talk about, our understanding of the instruction that comes through in the Bible, the understanding of what it is that the Bible is actually telling me, the understanding from how do I apply this in my life. I see it, but how do I apply it? Hoe werk dit? Hoe werk hy homself uit? Hoe loop ek in dit wat ek nou daar lees? And our understanding of how this thing works often leads to an inability to respond to that truth in the right way. The way that you hear the word will determine the way that you do the word. The Bible says, be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. And the way that you hear the word for yourself, in your understanding of it, will determine how you walk it out. Do you agree with that statement? Glooi julle dit? Jenny? And the problem is, and that's what I can honestly say about all of us, or most of us, is with my interactions, and I know this is the truth for me as well, there's a real earnest desire and a hunger to walk in the things of the Lord. When I talk with each one of you, there's a real hunger and a desire. That you are truthful in your desire to follow Jesus. It's not like we this, you know, hoity-toity, from, I hear it, but it's not really that important. I pick up from us there's a real desire to walk in the things of the Lord in the way that the Lord wants us to. But there's often just this inability to really understand some of these things well. And I've got the Lord just showed me this example in the week. Often we've got the hunger and the desire to eat a piece of toast. I take the bread out of the cupboard, I make myself some toast, and I take this new jar of jam, and immediately when I say jar of jam, not jar, tin of jam, and I want to put some jam, I want to put something sweet, something lekker on this piece of toast, just help the toast go down a little bit better. Because I'm hungry, but I want it to taste good as well. Nee. And that's often how it works in the Bible. We hear these truths, and some truths are hard to swallow. Some truths are hard to walk out. Some truths is not just lekker man, gat ons nou met die Here nie. Sometimes it's a difficult thing to walk it out. And then the Lord comes and He gives us some jam. He gives us something sweet to help it go down, almost like medicine. Helps us something. But the problem is now, the Lord gives me my toast, the Lord gives me my jam, but suddenly I don't know how to open the tin. Because I've never learned and I don't understand how a tin opener works. And that's sometimes what I see in my, even in myself, is that I've got everything is there. The scripture is there, the word is there, I've got a hunger, I've got a desire. And the Lord even gives me His goodness, His grace, to say, listen, I'm going to help you make this easier for you to get this down and get this part of you. But suddenly the only thing is I don't know how to, a can opener works. And I get frustrated. I cut myself halfway through. And I get hurt in the process because I don't know how the can opener works. And that's often how we need to come to the Lord and say, for the Lord to allow Him to teach us. Hey, let me show you. Come to me as a child. I will show you how a can opener works. But often we're like, nah, fit on that to do, Papa, los my. Excellent upcry. And then she struggles. Oh, Linka loves to do that. And she struggles for half an hour and then, Papa, help me. So I'm trusting that this morning the Holy Spirit will help us narrow the gap between our desire and our hunger to walk in the things of the Lord and to actually do that, to actually apply that in our lives through a better understanding of understanding. So I'm not gonna bring some truths and then bring understanding to that this morning. But I want to highlight the importance of how important it is to come to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, I need You to help me understand this thing better. And how does this thing work? I was preparing a different preach for this. I was preparing a preach on Matthew. You're going to walk away. I was preparing a preach on Matthew that Jesus gives us instruction. He says, but first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. I was preparing a preach on that, and normally this is the piece of scripture before that Jesus talks about, don't worry about what you wear and where you will eat. God will look after you. Don't be so materialistic, was always what Jesus said. This is also a preach that talks about, So I was looking at that, and as I was preparing, there was something the Lord started speaking to me, and He said, brother, you want to teach them a truth in the Bible, you want to teach them a way of Me, an instruction of Me, but have you ever asked yourself if everybody that you are talking to this morning knows has a good understanding of what it means to seek first? And I said, surely, Lord, everybody knows whatever in the Word says it, seek first. And the Lord says, no, do you know that some people read that exact scripture, same words that I'm reading, but some people read that scripture and where I'm reading, seek first. In other words, prioritize. It's where your heart lies. It's what binne aangaan. Waar is your desire? That's what it says. But you know that some people read that and says, seek only. I said, no, Lord, that's impossible. Well, how can you read that, seek only? And I started going, I started investigating. I googled a bit. And I looked at some church movements and some church groups and some people that look at that scripture, and where I read seek first, and I see where I see an understanding of what God is talking about prioritizing, it's people that sees this as an extreme. And they see seek only the kingdom of God. And there's a truth in that, because that's why they get deceived into that, because there's a truth. But now you've got church groups that lives in total isolation away from the rest of the world, because they are so scared that the world that they live in will keep them away from seeking first the kingdom of God. And so what they do is they totally isolate themselves. They live separate from the rest of the world. They don't want to have anything to do with the rest of the world because they are feeling that the Bible says, seek only the kingdom of God. That's all we're supposed to do. Seek the presence and the prayer and all of those things. That's the only thing that you need to seek. And there's a lot of other deception around that as well, where people, faith movements and stuff has come from that, where they say, seek first. And then they take it out of context of what the Bible was thinking, and suddenly any other person that has a career or is working, jy's van die pad af, broer. Jou prioriteit is verkeerd. Dit gaan nie oor geld maak nie. Dit gaan oor jy moet eers die koninkryk soek. And there's a total misconception of what it means to seek first. And I said, oh my word, Lord, where is my understanding well? Verstaan ek hierdie ding reg? Then I went on, and the Lord asked me, do you understand? Do you understand the kingdom of God? How well do you understand that concept? And I said, Lord, my understanding is that there's a kingdom of heaven. And the Lord says, and earth? Is this earth that you are living in, that we are born? Is that my kingdom? And I said, oh, wow, skielik is ek onseker. Skielik voel ek hoog, maar ek weet nie skielik nie. And I went looking in the Bible and I started looking at it and as I was and I googled it again. I was looking again at church movements, big huge Christian groups that started doing everything around that piece of kingdom of God and how they got sidetracked and went into the extremes of what kingdom of God means. And we need to an unbalanced view of kingdom. You know that the New Age, we all hear of the New Age. I remember I was like a little boy. And we started hearing pastore gekom en gesê, die New Age is die merk van die dier en dit is alles hierdie dinges. And the New Age was like the Antichrist. Besop vir die New Age. You know that the New Age, a lot of what the New Age believes comes from the fact that they believe everything is the kingdom of God. Everything is the kingdom of God. So what it means is that even unbelievers, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what religion you even are, that everything is part of the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter who you choose to come to God, it can be Allah or Buddha or Jesus, it doesn't matter who, because everything is God anyway. And so there's this belief, and so even the New Age, even an unbeliever, even the non-Christians, because of this misunderstanding of what God means and what kingdom means, there's a total misunderstanding of what that means. And so when I would come on a Sunday morning and now I'm going to teach and I'm going to say, listen, seek first the kingdom of God, immediately this room will be probably, there will be 10 or 4, how many different perspectives and understanding of what I'm actually teaching on. Do you understand that? Maak dit vir julle sin? Stem julle saam met my? I want to use this. I'll never forget this. I'll just share this. Kingdom now versus kingdom come. There's in the church today, good. Jesus loving the people of God. There's a huge chasm between the two. One believing their kingdom is going to come and the one believing that the kingdom is actually now. And how this is bringing division within the church and how it brings division amongst Christians, because this is two different extreme, but not extreme beliefs, but two different beliefs. But how the understanding of the same scriptures, the same Bible, makes one believe this and the other one to believe that. And I was one of that. I'll never forget that. I was an aspiring young teacher of the word earlier in my life. I started following some teachings of a specific group that I won't mention now, and they talked about kingdom now and the seven mountain mandate. Who've ever heard of that? Have you heard of it? And I was like, I'll never forget. I was so excited. I felt, oh my word, this is what we were called to. We were called to bring the kingdom down to earth, and we were called to rule and reign over this earth, and we need to take over the media and the schools and the government. This is what we are called to do. And I preached it. One Sunday, when I actually got the true understanding of this thing and when it got corrected in me, I was like, can I say, asseblief, as it's a report geweest, I'm going to delete it. I just want to make sure that it never gets popped again, ever again. But I understand today that my understanding was just skewed. And then and there was a big part of me that didn't take all of the Bible into context. We're going to get to that now. I want to use a short illustration. That's my time. Is julle nog okay? Want ek is nou eers nou 5 minute, so dit is nog fyn. Nee.
Ja.
Of course. Dankie. 10 punte. Graag. Sy het gesê ek kan heel dag preek. Nee, dit is wat jy gesê het.
Ja.
Dankie man.
Lukas 22 vers 36. Kyk gou-gou hierop.
If I teach this piece of scripture the wrong way with the wrong understanding of what Jesus was saying here, I can make of us, for die ouens wat nie kan glo. Okay? If I'm charismatic, if I'm able to persuade people with my ways of thinking. So I'm not saying that I would do it, but the right person. And also if you've got an itch here, if you have an ear that actually is looking, you've got a bit of a political background, you feel that die Afrikaner was lank genoeg onderdruk gewees. Die Afrikaner moet nou begin opstaan en hy moet if there is a part of you, I can teach this. So what happened is Jesus was there with his disciples and he said this. He said to them, but now let the one who has money bag taken and life was a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and what? Buy what? Buy a sword. And immediately, for I tell you that the scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors, but it's written about me, he was also a sick. Then, and they said, look, here are these two swords. And he said, it's genoeg. And there was this part of this, what was this military, suddenly language from Jesus saying, listen, as you just want to go for your swords, it's genoeg. Maar hy sê dit is twee swaai, dis genoeg om ons hoor. And I promise you, this scripture has been taken by the far left, far right or far left, I'm always confused. Far right. Is dit die regterkant? The far right. And they've taken that scripture and they said, see, Jesus said we must take up our arms. Jesus said that we must fight in what we believe to. Jesus and they forget about the rest of all of scripture and they hang on to that. The Old Testament, they will tell you stories about how David fought and how this one fought and how there was this and they will tell you these stories and I can build a case and an understanding around that. But they don't take you a few scriptures on where Jesus was confronted. He was about to be crucified and he was confronted by soldiers. Did Jesus tell the guys, listen, those swords that we have, come, it's nou die tyd, nou moet ons fight vir hierdie besigheid. Slaan hy man, hulle gaat nie vir my gevang nie. What did Jesus do? Put away your swords. En wie sien ou disipel wat vir die ou se oor afgeslaan is? Tot Peter, you come, what the fuck are you doing, Peter? You are totally misunderstanding what I told you in Luke 22, for goodness sakes. I didn't mean physically hit the guy with a sword. And so we look at these scriptures often, and if we take it out of context and if our understanding is right, we can build a whole theology around that that will at some point take us off course. Does it make sense? There's more like that. There's more like that. Paul says, move your primary argument, put your things on the thought of the things that's above. Sit jou gedagtes op die hemel. Vergeet van hierdie aardse besigheid. And then if you take that only, you can think that hierdie aarde beteken niks. Hierdie aarde is nie belangrik nie, want ons moet amper al reeds in die hemel lewe. Wat hier gebeur maak nie saakie. And then if you only look at those pieces of portions of scripture, and then you forget that there was other letters written to the Corinthians and written to the Philippians, where he talks to them very directly about how you should live in this life. Where his entire focus of an entire letter is, don't focus on the top. I want you to focus how to live this life in this lifetime. And he tells them how to be married and how to be good husbands and how to raise your children. And he teaches them all these things. And now you can say, okay, so there's a different balance in the scriptures that I see. You get that? Kan ek aanbeweeg? Because it has huge implications to us. And this is where the urgency for me lies in this morning. There's huge implications of our understanding of some of these basic Christian values and principles and truths. Because the way that we hear the word is the way that we're going to walk out the word. And I want to say this again. I want to just come back to the jam and toast. It's the goodness of God. God wants to make this, he says, my yoke is easy. Right. So sometimes we make this complicated for ourselves because we don't come like children to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to lay down my understanding of this. Come on, even if I think I know, for a moment I'm going to lay it down just to make sure that I've got this thing right. And then we often find that the ways of God, the way that God has designed, has made this life, is actually, if we stay within that, it's actually to make it easy for us, because he wanted to, this thing to be easy and not difficult. I had a men's meeting last year. I'll never forget my own. We were talking quite a lot, and it's even in the members' orientation videos, where we talk about accountability and transparency in church. And Andrew teaches on that in that specific videos. And I thought, listen, the guys have a good understanding of accountability and transparency. And so we had a men's meeting here in the hall, and the guys sat around in a circle, and I started sharing in the heart that I was expecting that we're going to have this open transparency and accountability session as men with one another. And I started sharing a little bit of my own life, and in my zeal, or I don't know what you want to call it, but also in my thinking that everybody is on board with this thing, I started saying, hey, and I think I can't remember who was it, but I'll use it for the dad. And suddenly my dad's sharing on something that he's struggling with, and I can see the eyes going wider and wider, and it's like, oh. And the guys are sitting a little bit more upright. Who was in our meeting, Khalil? Ah, and I'll never forget that at some point one of the guys stopped me. Wakai, stop, this is too much. What are we doing here? This is weird, this is uncomfortable. And I said, we are living in transparency and accountability with one another. I thought, we talked about this. And he said, no, we've never done this before. This is totally foreign to us. What's happening here is, like, I don't know what's going on. Is this what the Bible, is this accountability? I said, yes. Accountability and transparency is talking out of my life about the stuff that really matters. In being open and transparent and not hiding my sins from you, but actually talking about my sins, because one day it's going to be there's going to be a video of my life being shown to you anyway. So you might as well know about these things now that you can help me and walk with me to sort out these things, instead of keeping it from you and one day you're going to see it anyway. But I realized that night that often we teach on these topics. We teach on these subjects, about these truths, about these principles, but we never go further and we actually teach the understanding of how does this apply to my life? How does this thing walk itself out? Not just talking about and teaching about accountability and going through the scriptures, but actually saying, okay, you know how this works now? No, it's like Andrew teaches this about worship. The worst thing that can happen to anybody is sit in a teaching worship session, because that's going to probably ruin you for the rest of the time. Because what happens is I sit in a worship session and we are in a teaching session about what worship looks like. And then they will go through the Bible and they will show you examples of David that just lost himself. And the Bible is very clear and explicit about we worship with our bodies and we worship with our arms and with our hands and with our voices and we shout. And now suddenly, we talk and we see it now. We see the scriptures. We see everything. We even acknowledge that it's true. But if we don't come and we show you and we teach you and we help you to apply it in church and wherever you are, it will not benefit you. It will like be the jam staying in the can. And so you will find, I will often, and that's the thing that I love to do, I will often come to the front and when I'm seeing people are struggling to just connect, we will say, take away the chairs. And it's not a gimmick, it's not something that we want to do just to make ourselves different. It's actually, I'm seeing that the guys are struggling this morning to do what they, and we need to help understand how does this thing play out. Let's take away the chairs, let's bring some freedom into the room so that we are able to worship the way that the Bible teaches us to do. You get that? And I will ask the kids, come help me, as the old man said, you can wakker kry, you can hear kry, not just to do things differently, but it's actually to say, listen, we need to apply what the Bible says. And I will do anything in my power and anything that I can to do that and to bring that. Anyway,
let's move on. I want to highlight three things. I need to get going now. Ek raak nou agter.
Miskien jy wil nog wat kry. Dis nog iets wat
ek dink.
Ek is baie bewus van Android vir ons gesê, julle preek net 30 minute. En ek het I want to submit to my leadership and I want to submit to their solid teaching that comes to me. And I'm working hard at this thing. So I'm on 25 minutes. We're probably going to end on 40 minutes. I'm going to be 10 minutes over. But I promise you, it's a lot better than where I was. I was at like 1 hour preachers. So I'm doing a lot better. Niels has got this down. Yes, I do it so good. I'm looking at Niels. I said, Lord, please make me more like Niels. And he packs it full of oomph. He's preaching next week. Man, would it be missing? Would it be missing? So there's four things that I want to highlight. How can we help ourselves to bring and to come to a better understanding of these things of the Bible? And I want to just mention some of them and then we'll just look at some. Okay, so the first thing is God's Word. There's no substitute, there's nothing better, there's nothing apart Scripture. God's Word is probably the only way to really get an understanding of God's heart, God's teachings, and how this should pan out in our lives. We should make an effort to learn, to study, to read the Bible as often as we can. I can't sugarcoat that. I can't tell you, no, but read the Bible. When you read the Bible, it's when you actually get to a good understanding of what it is. I also want to say, read the entire Bible. Don't get stuck in only Matthew. Ja, ek lees net Matteus, want dit is hier. Handelinge is nou maar meer my boek. Ek hou van Handelinge. Read the Old Testament. You get to know so much about God's character, His faithfulness in the Old Testament. You get to know how God thinks. Die 10 gebooie. Die 10 gebooie was nie net om reëls om te kyk hoe gehoorsaam kan Israel wees nie. It reflects something of God's heart. When God says, do not murder, it's God's heart. He says, I don't want you to murder one another. It tells you something about God. I want to say, stay away from YouTube, for goodness sakes. Stay away from, and this is, I say this with the necessary context as well. Often we get, I've got nothing against dark cities. Yeah? I've got nothing against, it's a good thing. Sometimes it's a good discipline om 'n dagstukkie te hê. The problem with dark cities, it highlights a certain portion of scripture only. Every single time. So you never get the bigger picture when you only stick to dagstukkies. When you only do Oom Angus Bucken in the morning, that voice note that he sends you, when that's the only thing that you have, it gets gevaarlijk. Because again, Oom Angus highlights something, and I promise you, that man has read the entire chapter, and then Oom Angus highlights something, but his understanding is the entire chapter. So now you only take one portion of what Oom Angus says and you run with it for the rest of the day, and that is your bread that you have. And it often brings us with only a piece of the understanding of what God is actually talking about. And I'm not dissing that. It's a good thing. It's wonderful. It brings, you know, it's good. But don't make that your only appetite. Moenie dat jou enigste bordkos is. Want dan gaan jy later net 2 minute noodles. Die hele tyd. I had an experience this week. Be careful, and that I want to say on YouTube. Be careful what you hear on YouTube. Be careful what you see on your Facebook reels. I saw something this week. I had it in my preach, for goodness sakes. Ek het amper geblasphemy. Ek het amper geheresy. Wat is dit? Geheresy. How do you say? Geheresy. Ek het amper gedonk vir julle. There was this a YouTube clip that I, a Facebook clip that came on. And I wanted to use that as an example of how quickly we misunderstand Scripture. And you know that piece of where the Bible says, where Jesus said, it is more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom than it is for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. And this specific Facebook clip said that this is a misunderstanding of the eye of the needle is not a needle. It's not how difficult it is to get into heaven for a rich man. It is actually referring to a physical piece in the wall at the gate in Israel, in Jerusalem, that they had to off back the long story. And I researched, but my research was like the first, I Googled. That's why I say Google is so gevaarlijk. You need to be careful with Google. I googled it, and the first thing that came up, it looked like the truth. And I put it in the preach, and I had this picture that I wanted to show you guys of it, and it was like, see, yellow for this. And something in me, thank goodness, I went again. I said, listen, let me just check this thing again. I sort of like double sure, because it doesn't make, I know about the gates of Jerusalem. There were big gates, man. And they had people at the gate. They said that the elders was at the gates because they were controlling who was coming in and out of the city. And I thought to myself, I've never, because the picture is literally a small, you have to crawl through it. That's literally the picture that you have. And I went and looked again, and I saw it was actually fake news. I saw it was actually not true. There was never such a thing in the city gates. There were actually big gates and all of that. And so I started to realize, oh my goodness, how quickly we see something, we hear something. Have you seen those quotes these days? They put a face of a very important or a well-known person, and then they put some writing next to that person, and then we suddenly believe that Abraham Lincoln actually said what he said. Have you ever seen those memes? That's how we work. We see something and then we totally believe it, and we be careful of that. And the last thing that I want to say, all scripture, we cannot get stuck in certain portions of scripture because that will determine our understanding of what we are reading. Let scripture, explain. Let scripture explain scripture. When you go to the different scriptures and you see, oh my goodness, there's a different aspect to this. Let scripture explain scripture. 2 Timothy 3 says this. All scripture is God-breathed. And why? It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And we're going to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. But all scripture, we cannot take certain areas of scripture and only apply that on its own as a singularity, because then we're going to get into trouble. Because with most things in scripture, there's different aspects to that and different ways how it applies and how it works out in our life. The second thing, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to humble ourselves, and this is what from my notes, and I love the fact that Anton and my mom had the words this morning. So the Lord has spoken on this. Sometimes we need to humble ourselves and say, listen, I'm going to pretend that I don't know anything. I'm going to pretend, even though I've been in church for 20 years, even though I feel that I know everything, I'm going to humble myself before the Lord, and I'm going to pretend that I don't know about this thing. And I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to teach me on this aspect, and to bring the understanding on this aspect. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean what? Not on your own understanding. We are living in a world where the world is teaching you, trust your heart, trust your gut. The world is teaching us, trust your understanding. The Bible has got a different set. He says, no, you cannot trust your heart. You cannot trust your own understanding. You need to go to the Lord with all things and go to Him continually. Go to Him too. I'll never forget all of the times when I had certainty about the thing, and then the Lord says, I want you to come and ask me again about it. I said, the Lord already spoke to me about this thing. Come and ask me again. And when I asked the Lord again, often He would confirm what He said the first time, and then add to that the second time and the third time. And when the process is finished, go to the Lord. Let Him teach you how you hear, how you're going to walk it out. The third thing, experience and time. Allow the Lord to be patient with you in order to bring true understanding. Sometimes we hear something and on afterwards, hey, here we go. Let's go with this thing. We're going to have half of the understanding. And then the Lord is still busy, but I was still explaining page 2. And then it's like, come, call me. Call me. And then you have to go back. You have to backtrack. You have to go back. And then the Lord says, listen, I was still talking with you, and don't run. Time. Give the Lord time. Stand still by a topic. Don't run on to the next topic. Don't run on to the next thing. Stand by tyker lang genoeg stil, so that the Heilige Geest can heal more from you. We are sometimes so impatient with ourselves and with the Lord. Experience. That's the I wish the Lord could actually just teach me, but sometimes the Lord works through experience. Sometimes go, ooh, never do that again. And sometimes understanding comes through experience. And so I want to say, the Bible says, take all joy when hardships hit you. The Bible says the Lord disciplines those that he loves. Often it is those experiences that the Lord allows and brings on in our lives to teach us, to bring a full understanding of what it means. Don't be scared of those things. The last thing, the gifts and the leaders that the Lord has placed in my life is another way in which the Lord brings a good understanding. There was many times in my own life where I really thought I had a good understanding of this thing. I've got this down. I know how to do this. And then a guy like Andrew Selly comes along. It was in the heyday when I was in the kingdom now. I knew this thing, and I was just about to start a political party and, you know, to get this thing down. And Andrew Selly came in and he started explaining church, the role of the church, God's heart with the church. And suddenly I was looking at this thing and I said, oh my word, I had it wrong. I understand it differently now. And that's the thing. God has placed certain gifts and people in our lives with specific, and it's not that person's gift. It's not who slimmed Io Isney. It's a gift that God, Jesus, gave that person a specific gifting. A part of Jesus is in that person to help us, to work with the Holy Spirit, and to help us understand these things better. Ephesians 4 says this. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And then was he. He's thy he. Who's that? Who's he? Verse 11. Jesus. Just here, let's still some more. It is Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. What? To prepare God's people. I always want to say to help us understand how these things work. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. I want to get knowledge, understanding how these things work. And how to become to obtain the whole measure of fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. And that's what I often see with us. Often we sit on our stuff and you take the crack, it's here and here and under. And often it is not because we don't want to. We've got the zeal, we've got the passion, we've got the desire, we love Jesus with all of our hearts, but we don't understand what we're doing. Paul says this in Ephesians 3. Listen to this. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, and that's why leaders aren't super people. I'm not Superman. I don't have everything. I don't understand everything fully myself. That's why I need leaders as much as the next person. Although I'm less than the least of all God's people, the grace was given to me. It's not his grace, but it was given to him by Jesus. To do what? To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to, I love that, to make plain, to make it understandable, to make it easy for us, to put some jam on the toast, for goodness sakes. The administration of this mystery, which was what was withheld. And so there's people in our lives that will make some things to us a little bit more clear, a little bit more easy to walk in these things. But we need to open up our hearts and open up our lives for those people to actually speak into us. Not just leaders. I'm going to say it's actually the body as well. I'm going to learn as much as a leader will be able to teach me some of these things out of Scripture. I'm going to learn from Anthea's experiences. I'm going to learn through Renew's experiences as we bride together and he tells me something about his life. I'm going to learn something about my understanding will be shaped by his experiences. And it's important that we are part of a body. Now I'm going to not go into that, but that's again, comes back to, if we don't understand these things, if we don't understand God's heart, why did he put me in a church? Because I have to? No. Because God wants to put some jam on your toast. He wants to make this life and this walk and this journey easier That's why he put you in a church and in a body and in a family. I'm going to end it off. Finish. I'm going to end it off by reading, and I'm not going to elaborate on it. I'm just going to read the scripture. But I want the Holy Spirit. Just close your eyes for a moment. Lord, I want to pray, as we just read these scriptures, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you, Holy Spirit, will help us really get the importance, the emphasis of you on understanding. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that as we go through these scriptures, you will highlight to us, maybe already now, Holy Spirit, show us what are the areas that we need a better understanding in. What are the areas that we need to humble ourselves and come to you as children and say, Lord Jesus, I think I understand this thing wrongly. Just show us that now, Lord. Show us that now. And I want to pray, Lord, as we go through these scriptures, these five scriptures, I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we read it, something of an urgency will just fall on our hearts. Something about your heart for us will fall, and we will see how important is it for us to truly get a good understanding. In Jesus' name we pray that. First scripture. I'm not going to elaborate too much, but I want us to read. I want the scripture to speak to us. 1 John. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. I want you guys to read that with me, and when we get to that place, just say understanding. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Jesus must give us understanding so that we might know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. We need Jesus to come and help us understand these things. Because we can talk about keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a few weeks ago. We can talk about walking in cadence. We can talk about how important it is to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. But if Jesus himself has not revealed to you, what does it mean? How does it apply to my life? If Jesus doesn't open that up to you, you will not be able to walk in it. We must understand these truths in order to walk in them. Mark 12, verse 33. We all know, to love him with all, this is Jesus speaking, to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding. So what do we need to understand? I just love Jesus, man, I love him. No, he says there needs to be an understanding of how this love works itself out. Because if we just love, if we just say, for infinity and beyond, I'm living for Jesus, and we don't understand how that thing works out, we might mess it up. We might get it wrong. With all your understanding, with all your strength, love your neighbor as yourself, and it goes on. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. This is Paul speaking to the Colossians. We haven't stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul says, we taught you these things, but we pray every day that God with his wisdom would help you understand what it is that we taught you. How do I apply these truths to my life? You have to understand it, Paul says. Ephesians 4, verse 18, second last scripture. This is the one that makes me worried. The enemy always puts the fear of God in me when I read this specific scripture. He says, this is talking about people that lost their understanding. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. This thing puts the fear of God in me when I realize that if there is an area where I have become haughty, is the word? I'm thinking of the English people who need to help me out of this thing. I think I've got this. When I've become arrogant in my thinking, and I think I know this thing. Or, listen to this. This is also what happens. If I teach something from here, from a pulpit, and you hear it, you see the truth in that, But you don't understand how that thing works out in your life, and you don't apply that thing in your life. And you hear that thing often enough, but you don't apply. You hear, but you don't apply. You hear, but you don't apply. The Bible says that you will harden your heart. Your heart will become hardened to that thing. And at some point, it will have no effect in your life. And that scares me. I'm like, Lord, never, please, Lord, never allow me to get to that place where my understanding has been so corrupted in the near. And where I've hardened my heart, I don't want to understand. I've got this thing. Don't teach me further. I know what grace means. Whatever. The last one.
Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. I love this last one. Though it costs all that you have, get understanding.
I want to say sometimes we will break off one of our limbs in certain things. We will do everything to get certain things done, especially when it comes to work and some of the aspects of our lives.
As my kinders see this, I will go through our hard water to get my kid healthy again. Or, you know, that type of thing.
But I love this problem. Is if it costs everything in you, how important is it to you to gain understanding from the Lord and from the Word and from the Holy Spirit and from those people that's around you? How important is it to you to really understand and to apply these things that we talk about? Is that good? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning.
We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is so faithful.
Your Holy Spirit is so faithful. You said in the scripture that you will send a helper to us that will teach us into the fullness of Jesus. And so, Lord, there is someone in the person of the Holy Spirit. There is people in our lives in the persons of leaders and our fellow saints with us that can help us to understand and apply the things of the Bible and the things of Scripture and the things that you teach us. But Lord, this morning I pray that you will humble our hearts this morning. That we will come to you and say, Lord, we are coming to you as children. And Lord, if there's any area in our lives that we are walking currently that has either a misunderstanding, a complete wrong understanding, or just a faint something that is polluting our understanding, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be faithful and show that, reveal that to us. And then, Lord Jesus, that we will do everything in our power to talk to a leader, to talk to someone that we know and trust, to come to you, to read the scriptures. I don't care if we have to read the entire Bible from the front to the back, but to do everything in our power to really understand well what it is that you're teaching us and how to apply that to our lives. We pray that in Jesus' name. Come and do that work in us, Lord. We ask that of you. We ask that of you, Lord, that you come and do the work in us that we cannot do ourselves. In Jesus' name. Amen.